FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, and tonight you're listening to When a Nation Chooses to Destroy Itself.
This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
Good evening, patriots. And tonight is April 18th, Thursday, in the year 2024. And I've begun my journey back to Oregon, and with a whole new set of issues to deal with that I've never dealt with before. How do you travel with two puppies and make time? And the answer is you have a lot of changes that you have to do. I'll talk to you a little bit about that at the beginning of the show. Puppy travel, as many of you know, is not the same as traveling by yourself. There's a lot more equations to put in place and a lot more factors to bring in, but it's nonetheless very rewarding. And they are sound asleep right now, which is good to see. Patriots, right now, one of the things we do need to be aware of is this shot that we're dealing with. We talk about the COVID vaccines. It seems that the more that the truth is revealed, literally the darker things get. We have lived through literally this entire vaccine issue is about lies, coercion, force, fear, anything they can do to get people to take it. And even now, the CDC now has admitted that there's a 14,000% increase in turbo cancers, and we know exactly where that came from. While many of the people have stood strong against not taking the vax, the problem is they're exposed to shedding of the spike proteins, and that can make people sick. So there is now a way to help remove those toxins with what products are being developed now by Warrior Essentials. Okay, Warrior Essentials is presenting a product that has a patent pending formula that works with the power of the body, helping to return the body's natural abilities on to help purge the spike proteins. So it's designed for those who have been jabbed or those who have been around people who have been jabbed, which is pretty much everybody. And it's based on three principles: remove toxins, repair circulatory health, restore the epigenome. And there's literally nothing like it anywhere today on the market. Now, I have to tell you, it's not FDA approved, which shouldn't bother you since the COVID death shot was, and they're trying to continue to get it to be FDA approved, brought to you by the folks that want to kill you. But not this. This is a fantastic product that is intended to help the body do the recovery on its own, which is exactly as God designed. So if you just go to recoverwithbards.com, you'll save up to 50%, and that's off the regular prices plus free shipping. It's a great deal for everybody in Bards Nation. It's exclusive to Bards Nation. So help get rid of the body's toxic spike proteins. Nobody likes those. And boost your health. That's the best thing about the whole thing. And it's letting your body do the work for you. So again, head on over to recoverwithbards.com, and get up to 50% off the regular prices and free shipping. You'll find all those links below the podcast. There are so many crazy things going on, but before we get into the political crazy, I'm just going to talk a little bit about the travel crazy, which there's plenty of that too. As I don't know if we put pictures up of this yet, Nikki will, if she hasn't got those, if I haven't sent them over to her. I took the back seat of the Jeep and I converted it into a kennel. And I did that with some really cool aftermarket products that are available. One is a webbing system that divides off the back of the front seats it divides the front and the back seats, and it gets right behind the front seats. And a second webbing system that was designed specifically to go behind the back seat and that rear area. In a JKU has that rear tail area, which mine has a lockable storage system and then a deck that you can put things on. So it essentially creates a webbing on both the front and the back. And then when you lay that seat down and you put in great little things like a pad and you put in their toys, it becomes their kennel. So I have two puppies, and I left this morning, or I should say earlier this afternoon, from the Resistance Chicks studio in Ohio. and have ran into some new discoveries, which many people have dogs, have been heading dogs, know about. One is that Love's truck stops all have a fenced-in dog walk and dog play area, which is fantastic. So I was able to stop about halfway, let them out off leash, let them play around a bit, get a little relaxed, do their thing, and then get them back in the vehicle. The puppies are doing great, honestly. They're amazing to me how well they've adapted since they've come into my holding and my life. They've had their life completely disturbed or shaken up, but they've had some time to settle into different places. So we obviously had 4 days up at Revival, Harvest Revival Church under Pastor Neil Peterson. I had 3 days with Michelle and Leah, which they have an acre of land that's fenced in, which gave the dogs a lot of time to run and also allowed me to discover some things about these dogs. They love, literally love to be outside. One of the only dogs I've ever had or have even seen, and I've had a Newfoundland as well, that would rather not be inside but would rather be outside. So they've had their 3 days of playing, and then thanks to some real encouragement by Leah Svensson of the Resistance Chicks, she really encouraged me to start looking at Airbnbs. Now, just so you know, I've traveled for a long time all over the world, and I typically have always stayed at Marriotts. And surprisingly, many Marriotts are pet-friendly, even for these two puppies. But the problem is it's the issue of still a dog in an apartment or in a hotel and getting enough leg walk for these dogs, which are really energetic. So the first stop now has a fenced-in backyard at an Airbnb here in Champaign, Illinois. And it's a wonderful place, nice house. The crate's set up, the dogs are asleep, and they've already had playtime outside. And this is going to be kind of my journey back, which will be daily, finding an Airbnb with that's pet-friendly and that has a fenced-in area where they can go out and roam. So again, for me, for those of you that have dogs, this is all probably second nature. For myself, being that I have not traveled with a dog, not like this. This is all new. So I'm discovering things that some of you already know, but I'll tell you, it's going to lead to a really cool program because I think it's going to be something like God's Creatures or God's Creatures Great and Small, which is a play off of All Creatures Great and Small, this series that was on PBS and a book series. But that's going to become a weekly show and just talking about all things animals. In particular, in this time when so much emphasis is being pushed to get them vaccinated with the mRNA shots. And again, it's the same war on animals as it is on humans. This is the cult of death that runs this world. And so I think it's a good time to bring in a show like this. I'll get some veterinarians on. I'll get experts in doing raw food and just different ways of looking at raising animals naturally, which I think is extremely important. And just to kind of feather in on that, just before the show tonight, I had a call with a friend of mine who's been doing cattle for years. And we were talking about weaning cattle, the calves, because I've got 15 of them that have not been officially weaned. But as I made a decision not to do that. And it's amazing to watch the natural process occur. The mothers are weaning them off themselves. And as we've talked about it, that used to be the old way. The corporate way of doing business now is to force wean them for production. But I'm really trying to encourage that we start looking at the older ways, which had a lot of sense in a lot of things, well before big pharma and other corporate production areas started to take over our entire industries and try to force new ways of doing things. So anyway, that's the quick update on the cattle. And so let's move now into some bigger things here. We are dealing with a real issue in our nation. And quite frankly, it's disturbing to realize that if we're going to really start pointing the finger at where things are, we have to start pointing the finger at ourselves. That's a hard one to do. And I know it doesn't make people feel comfortable. We want to blame somebody. We want to blame the machines, the digital voting machines. We want to blame a politician. But at the end of the day, this is a republic, and it's where government is responsible or subordinate to the wills of the people, and we haven't held to that. And so when you give people power, whether it's at a pulpit or whether it's in Congress, whether it's in a lawyer, whether it's a judge, you allow them to go forward and to do their criminal acts and say nothing against it. We end up in a system where the criminality of it can increasingly grows. When you add to that the criminality of mindset, it's the bankruptcy of mindset of wanting to seek wealth, not seek greatness in our lives. the drive to accumulate more wealth has driven us into an obsession of self-destruction, would be the only way to put it. And it's a very sad statement in our day to understand truly what we are faced with and what is happening. Let me play this piece here with kind of an indication of some of the things we're dealing with. And what this is this is an issue of Chinese military buying up lands around our U.S. bases. Now, if there's any indication that our country has been already bought and sold and is under occupation, this should give it to you. This program was actually run by Dr. Phil. Listen to the details of what it and how this property purchases were approved. It's absolutely stunning.
Strategically buying land around that. This is not random. They're in the same county. They're right up against this. How is this happening, Kyle? You're the expert here.
There's one down in Texas that right there on the border near Del Rio.
Right.
Where it's actually a Chinese general. General Sun came in and bought over 100 square miles of land between our most active Air Force training base and our border. And he filed permits to put up windmills. It's an area on a scale of 1 to 10 that might have a wind factor of 3.5. If you and I were putting up a windmill, we'd put it up where it's an 8 or a 10, where there's some wind.
Right.
They want to put up windmills for two reasons. They want to connect directly to the U.S. grid so that they can upload malware to the grid and they can monitor the grid. And they also want to build these windmills 700 feet tall. Imagine a windmill that's almost as tall as the Washington Monument. And they can put cameras up there that map the horizon, and they can map the horizon with 1 square inch of clarity right next to our largest Air Force military training base. Every Air Force pilot trains at Laughlin Air Force Base. They can map every person, every plane, every hypersonic that glides by. What it has to do is go through a process called CFIUS, the Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S., which the U.S. Treasury is in charge of. And DOD is a piece of it. State, there are all these different departments that are part of CFIUS, but the U.S. Treasury runs it. Here's the problem. The U.S. Treasury is owned by Wall Street. Mm-hmm. And Wall Street can't wait to invest another dollar in the land of 1.3 billion people of puppy dogs and rainbows and make some more money in China. So whenever anything really comes down to it, if Treasury's in charge, we're in real trouble. And so all of these deals that you're showing here, many of them have just walked through CFIUS. The problem.
We are in a time right now when profit has become the bane of our entire society. And the idea of constantly trying to push for more gain and people trying to use Wall Street to leverage capital out of others. By very definition, if you've studied how capital is raised and garnished for those that do investments, all you're doing is pilfering off of another man's labor. And you're gaining that which is not yours. You're stealing labor from someone else's work and you're making a profit on it, which ends up reducing wages and causing and for the benefit of those investors. We've created a class, a mentality of people that seems to think it's okay to be the slave owners. And slave ownership is massive. They don't like to call it that in Wall Street, but that's essentially what we're dealing with here. But the greed and the obsession of trying to get more money leads to zero loyalty to anything other than the dollar. This is a Babylonian model. And in so doing, everything is for sale. The irony is that if China is successful at acquiring the control that they seem to be moving very quickly to gain in a true sense of our government, there will be very few people in Wall Street that will survive it. Most of those people, the few that make the billions, may, but the rest of them will ultimately be ripped to the core of what they've done and be cast into these, which will be some version of a concentration camp or FEMA camp if they're not just outright executed. That's the way a communist system works. And because these people feel that they're in an elite class, that they're somehow above the law, they are continuing to pilfer our nation without consequence. We are in a place right now where we have to start recognizing that we are in an occupied country. We're occupied by the greed and grimy, filthy people of Wall Street, and we're occupied by those of the compromised nature of our government. Their role is not to help America. Their role is to destroy the United States for the benefit of the few and the benefit of their foreign masters. That is where we are. And this includes the destruction of our entire military, systematically breaking it down so that there is no way to defend ourselves. This is by design. And it's by design by the most evil of people, the very people that are supposed to be helping build a nation. The Wall Street investors who are supposed to be building great things are doing nothing more than pilfering America for their own benefit and their own gain. That is a representation of a society that has become morally bankrupt from a pulpit that no longer has any function other than to exploit the people for their benefit. Now, this is a piece by Tucker Carlson talking about a couple of pastors that are now active in trying to compromise the pulpit by taking leftist money. Take a listen.
But Russell Moore is himself a political leader, and he does, it seems from my outsider's perspective, very much like he is paid to subvert American traditional Christianity on behalf of the Democratic Party. He seems like he's betraying his fellow Christians for money.
He went and became the editor-in-chief at Christianity Today. They have launched a curriculum that is a political Bible study to help Christians reframe their political identity. It's funded by people like the Rockefellers. They fund a lot of left-wing things like abortion and quote-unquote gender-affirming care for minors and youth. When you look at this, you go, here you have guys like Russell Moore, David French, who are taking money from hard-left secular foundations to push their political curriculum into churches, onto Christian campuses. This is explicitly political lobbying. There's just a huge irony there, or we might call it hypocrisy and Phariseeism.
Phariseeism is a good term. And we've really come full circle and returned back to the very thing that destroyed, that we were trying to escape from in England. Our nation was built on the pulpit. We say this here a lot, and it's true. It was a nation that was grounded in the show we did last night, a long show, but a good show. Leah, Michelle, and I were there, and Matt. Leah went through some very detailed histories of people in the Christian historical place that challenged this sort of thinking. This is not a new problem, but it is a real problem today because the pulpit does not have the strength that it should. If we go to Finney, like I've mentioned many times, Finney reminds us of the responsibility of the pulpit. Finney reminds us that if there's anything wrong in a nation, ultimately that wrong has to do with the breaking and the weakness of the pulpit, which we have to start coming to grips with as a nation to realize truly what we have become. Just to read that, it's Charles Finney, and he wrote this in the early 1800s, Christ crucified for the sins of the world is the Christ that the people need. If immorality prevails in the land, the fault is ours in a great degree. If there is a decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the public press lacks moral discrimination, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the church is degenerate and worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses its interest in religion, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules in our halls of legislation, the pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupt that the very foundations of our government are ready to fall away, the pulpit is responsible for it. Let us not ignore this fact, my dear brethren, but let us lay it to heart and be thoroughly awake for our responsibility in respect to the morals of this nation. Those words are so poignant in this point in time because it doesn't allow anyone to escape responsibility and accountability. And the pulpit is also reflective of the congregations. Sadly, where we sit right now, congregations just become yes people. And they become places where little is said in protest as the pastor tells people how to think. And this is what becomes so dangerous when you start to see pastors taking leftist money. Because this is all about them pushing an agenda, which it's not of God, it's of man. And the sickness of that is that as it continues, that very concept it corrupts the church and everything about it. And I want you to play this piece here. It's stunning because we have churches right now that are reticent in getting too involved in the abortion issue. We have churches that have not rallied strong when Roe versus Wade was overturned. You should have seen every church standing up and coming out and pushing for state agendas to lock it in on a state level. But that didn't happen. And so when President Trump rebuked people, and I don't agree with his position on abortion, but nonetheless, when he rebuked people and said, the extremism of the abortion and the political issues is why we lost the last races. And then when another rebuke so told people that when you had Roe versus Wade overturned, you did nothing at your state level, there was truth to this. But here's what's crazy, is here we have churches that aren't doing their job, and now suddenly Bill Maher, of all people, is advocating, is talking openly about the fact that abortion represents murder. Take a listen.
You know, that's why I don't understand the 15-week thing, or the Trump's plan is, let's leave it to the states. You mean, so killing babies is okay in some states? Like, I can respect the absolutist position. I really can. I scold the left on when they say, oh, you know what? They just hate women. People who aren't pro-life, pro-choice. They don't hate women. They just made that up. They think it's murder. And it kind of is. I'm just okay with that. I am. I mean, there's 8 billion people in the world. I'm sorry. We won't miss you.
See, the problem we have here is that the right has become so neutralized, and our conservative values have become liquefied into this sort of aggregate of vanilla. They say in marketing that eventually all things become vanilla. And it's literally what has happened to the conservative place, because the consequence of people wanting to stand up and be bold is what we need. We need that spine. We need that strength in our country. We need that courage. But our pulpits have become corrupted. Our pulpits have become weakened, and there's nothing there anymore to substantiate the sort of foundations on a large scale that we saw in the beginning of the country. Now, I'm not calling out every pulpit, but I'm calling out a lot of them, because on the aggregate, our pulpits are weak. Otherwise, we wouldn't be where we are. Where are the pulpits screaming from the top of their lungs and mobilizing their congregations to stand up against this murder of children or this mutilation of children with the transgender movement? We just don't see it. And yet the one thing that the churches did fight for over the years was the overturning of Roe versus Wade, and then nothing happened. But the left got active. The left got very active. And in so doing, the left was able to put in place in several states very draconian type laws that even legalized pedophilia and ensured the abortion would continue. That unfortunately is the bankruptcy of the pulpit and the pulpit in the United States as it is today. Now I want to read to you something. It's a bit long, but I'm going to read at least a portion of this post. And this post is on Twitter, and it's from a person by the name of Steve Deese. So take a listen. It says, I received a lot of reaction to this post. Let me quantify precisely what I mean by this so that we can fully understand the limp-wristed cancer infecting many of our ministries, warning this won't be short. From my Bible in a year scripture reading this morning, he reads, moreover, Jeram made high places see that the altars to the demon Asherah to perform sex rites as a worship in the hill country of Judah, and led to the inhabitants of Jerusalem into the whoredom, and made Judah go astray. And a letter came to him from Elijah the prophet, saying, thus says the Lord, the God David your father, because you have not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat your father, or in the ways of Asa king of Judah, but have walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and have enticed Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem into the whoredom, as the house of Ahab led Israel into whoredom, and also you have killed your brothers and of your father's house, who were better than you. Behold, the Lord will bring a great plague on your people, your children, your wives, and all your possessions, and you yourself will have severe sickness with disease of your bowels, until your bowels come out because of disease day by day. And the Lord stirred up against Jehoram and the anger of the Philistines and the Arabians who are near the Ethiopians. And they came up against Judah and invaded it and carried away all of the possessions they found that belonged to the king's house, and also his sons, his wives, so that no son was left to him except Jehoahaz, his youngest son. And after all this, the Lord struck him into the bowels with an incurable disease. And in the course of time, at the end of 2 years, his bowels came out because of the disease, and he died in great agony. His people made no fire in his honor, like the fires made by his fathers. He was 32 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 80 years in Jerusalem and departed with no one's regret. They buried him in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings. This is 2 Chronicles 21, 11 to 20. And he goes on to say, now he says, if you're a Christian, you believe in the God who cursed the wicked political ruler in a very violent, painful, and graphic way for demonically influencing the people was Jesus Christ. Because to be a Christian is to believe Jesus Christ is God and the Son of the Trinity. How many Christians even knew this was in the Bible? He was talking to all the sincere believers, yet just yesterday, and real man's man as well. And yet, when I quoted from Nehemiah 13 about beating people and pulling out the beards for defiling the temple, he was stunned. He had no idea that was in the scriptures. If you do not go to a church that you can foresee ever preaching on this passage, never again return to that church, for the church is the very problem with the dying culture you are living through. Unfortunately, that is going to be a good many of the churches many evangelicals enjoy attending. In our era, we have created a new heresy. We have sanitized the Bible. Most evangelical churches aren't preaching about heresy, but they're not preaching on an open Bible either. They are self-editing. They are determining if they were their own papacy, what scriptures you are to hear and which you are not, what you can handle and which you cannot, which will fill seats and coffers and which will not. Spoiler alert, this passage won't inspire another hit from Hillsong or another wave of false converts from the suburbs of the tithe. And though that is not an excuse for any believer, for a part of our individual relationship with Christ is to seek him individually through his word. This new heresy plays right into our convenience-driven culture. Just as too many parents were too easy to find out what their kids were learning in the government schools, they were delegated disciplining their children for decades, and now we are reaping a harvest of communist degenerates and God-haters. But I repeat to myself, as a result, we delegated our time in God's word to Sunday mornings at church because we were too busy to do ourselves otherwise. And a generation later, we have ended up with a soft-headed, sweater-vested, pleated khaki, nicer-than-God beta male like Mike Pence and Mike Johnson, who think we're loving the neighbors as they love themselves by siding with the enemy against their own God and his people. Just like many evangelical churches cater week after week, year after year, to those who have rejected God, repackaged as seekers, overfeeding, discipling even those who love him. Does mercy triumph over judgment? Yes, but it doesn't cancel it. There is still a hell, and people are sadly going there each day. And one of the reasons why this sanitized for your comfort heresy that makes them think they have saved when they're really false converts. They don't take making disciples seriously, and that is the Great Commission, to disciple the nations, discipling being the root word of discipline, not to convert nations. Conversion is the first step of discipleship, and one cannot be discipled without conversion, but it is just first step nevertheless. Similar to how your marriage may have been announced on the wedding day, and there can't be a marriage without the wedding day, but the marriage itself was just the beginning. How successful will your marriage be if it peaks on the wedding day? Answer, not very. And neither will the church, the bride, succeed her groom, Christ, by peaking at more conversion, at mere conversion. By their fruit you will know them, our Lord says. Well, Pence and Johnson may be the most high-profile evangelicals of a generation, certainly the most powerful ranking high in the line of succession to the most powerful office on the planet. What does the fruit of their public service reveal? Seeds planted like by the likes of the most popular and soft-headed evangelical preachers in the era, such as Rick Warren and Joel Osteen. A bad tree produces bad fruit. What comes from the pulpit is often what will come forth from the pews. You hear me say these things quite a bit. It's pretty refreshing to find them in other places. The fact of the matter is we end up with weak pulpits. We end up with a place of pew marshmallows. And it's a place of a despicable nature of how we take our faith. Everybody wants the faith to be easy and soft. Our faith is a rigor. It's a discipline. And it requires sacrifice. And when we end up in a place where we are able to embrace the sacrifice part of this, the martyrdom spirit, and get back to those ways that where we can challenge the pulpit for what it's doing wrong, the congregations now begin to revive the church. And if we revive the church, we revive this nation. It's pretty simple, but we're not going to get one without the other. And we simply can't, because we need the church to be strong. We need the church to stand up boldly and to understand what it is that we are doing and what is being done to us. And it's the church that mobilizes the people. We have congregations out here that literally sit and listen for an hour of a message that can be used to mobilize. And yet we're not seeing it. And we're not seeing it because in this day that we're in, it's more concerned about making it easy, soft, acceptable, palatable. The remnant is a critical reflection of what God needs, because he needs people that are hardened in the heart. He needs the Gideons. And while we'll hear the discussion, and it will happen, you'll hear the discussion of, well, it depends on where they are on the spectrum of Christ. Some are just beginning seekers. Some are long-time issues. Okay, that's fine. And I can accept that without any problem. But what I can't accept is that we have these pastors, 60% of our pastors are dealing with sexual addictions. And we only have 14% of our youth pastors that have a biblical worldview. So what does that say about the pulpit? What does that say about the church? The church, as we've known it, is broken, and it's not leading the nation, because the church is intended to lead this nation. And so we end up with a sea of people wandering in the desert. What does that look like? It looks like a nation that chooses to destroy itself, because they're led astray. The things that become important are the things of profit and money. We want to pump our money into stocks and 401ks to preserve our future. And all that's doing is handing the keys of destruction to those that are about pilfering everything for profit. That's Wall Street. And that engine runs our government. It's the same Wall Street that made money us after people took the death shots, celebrating how much money they were making. And now we have 10 million people out of the workforce, at least. Many dead, many harmed and injured. All of that for profit. Profit. So this is the world we are in. And the only way that world changes is when we change a moral foundation. A moral foundation for what's going on. And we're so obsessed with what's going on outside of our borders. We're so obsessed about what's happening with Israel. We're so obsessed with what's happening in Iran. We're so obsessed with what's happening in Ukraine. What's going to happen in Taiwan? When are we going to get obsessed about what's happening within our borders? When are we going to take the real concern when we get news about the damage that's being done in our schools, or the damage that's being done to our children? When does that happen? When does it happen when we really take a real concern that a 13-year-old girl was allegedly sexually assaulted by her teacher at Marlboro Township in school, New Jersey? A 13-year-old girl sexually abused by her teacher. When does that become as important as Iran? When? When does the 700,000 children that go missing every year become as important with Israel destroying all the children in Gaza? When does that happen? But it's too much excitement and adrenaline to think about the potential of a world war, when the real problem here that this nation has to fix is its own internal problems, the problems of moral bankruptcy, the problems that encourage and continually to cause a pervasive attitude that children are less valuable than puppies. Ask somebody and pay attention to how much what happens if you abuse a dog. PETA and the rules of your county will put you in jail if you're found beating a dog. If you beat a child, Child Protective Services will take it away from you, and it becomes a trafficked product for the benefit of somebody else. Do we start to see this convolution now? I mean, these contradictions that are living in are unbelievable, and at the core of all things, to go to heaven, you have to have the heart of a child. But we can't even manage the children that God gives us. And this is just infuriating. And it's infuriating to a point where you have to start asking ourselves a question. Do we really want this nation? Do we as the people of America really want a nation? Or do we just want to be subjugated to the rule of a foreign power? Because it's coming if we don't wake up. And that's a thing that every single person can hear and say, well, I don't know what to do about it. It begins by speaking truth and waking people up. By carrying the church in your heart, by bringing those truths to the world and igniting those fires of righteousness in people. I listened to the message today by Bishop Emmanuel, who was recently attacked in his church in Australia. And while I admire his desire to quell and tamper down a response because he doesn't want to see a religious fight, since it was a Muslim that attacked him, apparently. What he's missing in this statement, and I'll be blunt about it, he sees that there should be, we are not told to ever fight. I disagree with this. The warrior heart of Christ is mighty. He flipped tables. He challenged the Pharisees. He spoke truth. And while he may not have wielded the sword of steel, he never rebuked Peter for doing so. But he did teach Peter the greatness of the sword of the Spirit, which could heal and restore. We have to start embracing what we are given, the power of prayer, the power of a place that we can stand in and truly start being righteous in our stance to save this nation. But we're not going to get there if we continue to let all of these other things take over. How do you solve child sex trafficking? You begin by having men stop obsessing and buying the products that produces. Men that are addicted to porn are driving child sex trafficking. And it always ends up at the same place. We come back and back to these issues because they're real. They're part of what has, it's so easy to destroy a nation when you get these things seeded in. I've told you this before. Someone asked me one day, and from a professional point of view, they said, with the experience that you have in working in information warfare and PSYOP and the types of things of destabilizing a nation, what would you do to destroy a nation in that information war? And I said, I would do one thing. And one thing only. I would get the addiction, I would get pornography put into the system, and I would let pornography do the work for me, because it will destroy families, it will destroy men, it will destroy an entire nation of youth. So when you look around at the sexualization of our children, we're making a choice not to stand up. We're making a choice to allow it to continue. Why are parents not just storming the libraries and pulling that pornographic garbage out and just literally burning it, making a statement? Because people first either are afraid or they don't want to step in to make a scene. And where does that message come out stronger than ever? It comes out at the pulpit. Because the pulpit is advocating that we need to be compliant. That being bold in the topic and being bold and forward-leaning is apparently not Christ-like. But I can't rectify that. I can't reconcile that with all that he did. I can't reconcile Christ, not being Christ-like, when Christ flipped tables and walked into the temple and spoke out and called out the Pharisees. I can't reconcile being passive and compliant to this nonsense, especially since this, what we are dealing with, is pure absolute evil. And that evil is trying to destroy us from the inside. And it has taken hold of the hearts of men. And our men have been broken. And right behind them are the addictions of women. So we get to these problems and we look at the problems across our world and we see the intricacies. We see Wall Street greedily racing ahead. And we go back to Finney. If you're going to have a country that is literally being obsessed with greed, where is that problem? The responsibility is at the pulpit. The pulpit, the pulpit, the pulpit. And we end up having to look at ourselves and say, how do we fix this? And how we fix this, ultimately, is to restore that through our home churches and to revive this nation one piece at a time. Grabbing hold of the youth that have the strength, advocating for that which is right, and moving forward. So let me close tonight with a couple of pretty interesting, and one initiative and a story here. I want to start with a story. This is a young black boy who is literally standing on the principles of truth. Take a listen to what he has to say.
I don't hate liberals. I feel sad for them that they're mentally challenged. I'm Chandler Crump, and you're watching Slightly Offensive on Excluded Media.
To the nation that is divided over left and right, how do we all get along?
You understand, but you don't hate, really. That's all it takes. Because not everyone's going to think the same, and that's exactly what I'm against. I'm against groupthink. People have to understand that you can't hate each other for different views.
Are you going to run for the presidency?
I sure hope so, one day.
This is pretty... Dude, you're smarter than me. Really?
Yes.
Do you troll people?
Oh, all the time. I troll, like, my liberal teachers. They're so funny. They try to tell me about a party switch, and because I'm worried that my liberal teachers are going to try to teach my classmates fallacies, and so I fight back. I be respectful because I am her student, and she went through years of college. Unfortunately, it doesn't really seem like she learned anything.
The virus of intelligence, and it works. And this is a young man who's speaking more truth and more truth than most adults do. Now, the last thing. Today I was on a call with Lou Dobbs and Ted Nugent and a variety of other influencers that Mike Lindell had called us together to be on a call together to talk about the new initiative that he's pushing. And this initiative is about getting paper ballot voting back into our county level. This is a true tangible action that will make a difference because it gets at the root of the corruption of the people have become accustomed to. It's hard work. There's 3,100 plus counties that they're focused on to get paper ballots back in those counties. Every county can do this. I'm going to be talking more about it as we go along, but I want to get you starting to think about it because this sort of initiative is one that gets us back to accountability. And the principal issue of a broken morality in a nation, we have to restore accountability. Accountability is critical. Now, there's a lot of people that will kick and scream about this. For one, they will think it's like some attempt to get Trump in office, which is ludicrous. This has nothing to do with Trump. It has everything to do with election integrity. Because election integrity is an effect on both sides. And we have to break this system and this addiction that we have on technology to get us back to simpler ways. Something that worked. So these initiatives, this is solid. Mike Lindell was at a conference today with Steve Bannon. They were talking a lot about this. And this call was in parallel to that. There will be more forthcoming on that. I'll be on a few other programs talking about it as well. And it's something we have to work on. The last thing tonight I want to mention is that on Saturday morning, and I want to point this out, is it's the initiatives of our heart that where God tells us to go and the things that happen when that happens. Now, you all know Pastor Devonise. She's become part of Bard's Nation. She joined us at Bard's Fest in Flemingsburg, which is amazing. The whole story about how she got there. The fact that God called her and she went, not knowing what she would expect. And the objective was, that was followed by an email, or I should say that was preceded by an email that I received that basically outright said that I was the profile of the pastors were not diverse. Well, that led to a great relationship we have now with Pastor Devonise. And she's a brilliant woman and a wonderful voice. And we then were able to have Apostle Greg Davis, her spiritual mentor, speak at the Eclipse event. And the Eclipse event was a fantastic revival, one that we've talked a lot about. And it was an amazing experience to have him there. And now this Saturday, I want you to hear this title. When I was there, Apostle Greg Davis stated and gave a prophetic word over me that my calling, as he was saying, is God's placing me in a position to be able to blend the color of the church. So this Saturday, Apostle Greg Davis is organizing a Zoom meeting, and we'll give you more details on that. Mickey will post it. That will include myself and Michelle and Leah from the Resistance Chicks, and it's called Crossing Racial Lines and Denominational Barriers. This is how we win. We get the fire back in the pulpit, and we start bridging in and getting rid of this division and getting back to where we have a fiery pulpit that speaks boldly of truth and calls out that which is wrong and now resets our nation. Our pulpit is the most critical thing we have to do. So as we get this information, I'm going to encourage you to dial in on it. It's important to join that. It's going to be Pacific time is 7 a.m. Central time or Eastern time. I have to look again. Let me take a look here real quick at the time of this. And I'll get all these times for you. 9 Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific. This is a powerful discussion. This is the sorts of things we need. And we need to bring this separation of our churches. We have to dilute it, destroy it, and we have to bring it back together so our congregations now can see each other. And the strong pulpits can rise up. And as we do this, we can truly have a powerful voice in the church again. I believe in that power. Our nation was built on that force and that power, that might of truth. And it's what destroys all this other thing that we're dealing with. All these nonsensical, stupid issues we are dealing with, whether it's corruption, whether it's greed, whether it's murder, whether it's mutilation of children, whether it's the trafficking. And they're not, those things are beyond stupid. They're actually just straight up evil and demonic. But it's amazing how many Christians don't even believe that demons exist. It's amazing how many Christians don't believe that miracle healing happens. It's amazing how many Christians don't even believe in deliverance or raising the dead. And yet all of that is part of the fivefold ministry. And it's not that you need to have a specific ministry that says, I'm a prophetic ministry. We need a fivefold ministry. And that's what we're going to be building and nurturing the more and more, especially as we stand up what we're going to be doing in Flemingsburg. That's the strength. And as we start to bring together the churches, the black and the white church, to once again have a common body within the body of Christ, it doesn't mean that everyone's going to be integrated, but we have to hear each other, see each other, and be excited about the different ways of speaking the glory of Jesus in our lives. And when we do that, we start to get the strength of the pulpit back. And with that, we start to bring the glory of God back into our nation. And the glory of God will restore this nation where nothing else can. This is not a political fight. This is a spiritual war, and it's a war that we can win. But to do so, it begins with repenting on our knees, embracing the unity and the glory of the body of Christ, and then standing up boldly in truth and not letting the intimidation and the badgering break us down to a place that we submit to the hand of the devil. Patriots, let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you this evening for our coming together. And a reflection of the need to re-strengthen the church, the pulpit. Father, lift us up in this time and show us and give us the hearts to speak boldly against that which is weak and misguiding the flock. And instead, speak into that, even in the congregation, to challenge that which is not of God, to not of you, Lord, that is weak in the place where we need to be strong. We need strong leaders. And so, Father, we're just praying upon all of those that are hearing tonight, the call that's on their heart to stand up and speak if you are called to speak, to be a leader in the word if you are called to be the leader in the word, to be bold and courageous, to not hesitate when we talk about the fivefold ministry, to literally walk in the apostolic and the prophetic, to literally heal the sick and have the courage to try to do so, to raise and cast out demons and to raise the dead. Father, we need that courage back in the hearts of the believers. And so we pray that blessing over each and every one. And we pray that blessing with the authority of Jesus, and he gave it to us to do just that, to do greater works than he. So let's embrace that. So Father, who's asking for your blessing upon each and every person tonight to awaken those sparks, that anointing to step in and say, I'm here, send me. And to not allow this insanity to continue. We are in such a time right now that we keep waiting for someone to fix it for us, and missing the fact that we are supposed to be the princes and priests of this world to advise full nations. And we need to be taking that authority and stepping into it as the children of the Most High. So on one hand, Father, we take a knee and we bow before you in humbleness, asking for repentance for the heart of the weakness that has suffered this nation and suffered so many. And on the other, Father, we ask for the boldness of the strength to walk with the discernment forward to claim that authority on this earth. So guide us, protect us, lead us. And Father, show us where you want us to step, because each step now has to be intentional, methodical, as you would want us to be. Let us see that step. Give us that guidance so that we can be greater in you than ever before. And we declare these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Patriots, we have a lot of work to do, but it's always the best type of work because it's serving our King. I'll see you tomorrow morning. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We are at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you tomorrow morning for Bended Knee. Until then, or until the next time, God bless. Good night. Thank you. And out for now.
Oh, I wanna feel something. I just wanna breathe again. Dive into the deepest end. Oh.